Tonight, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, please. We've been talking about that little phrase at the end of these churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we've been talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be talking a little bit about doctrine tonight, but it's not Bible doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, of course, but we'll see. You'll see in a moment what I'm talking about. We're looking tonight in verse number 18 at the fourth in the list of the seven churches of Asia, and that would be the church at Thyatira. And under the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. When Jesus is described to all these churches, that description, it's different parts, comes out of chapter number 1 when John saw him. And if you go back to chapter number 1, you'll find that there's a piece of that description of the Lord in each one of these churches in the writing to the church. And Jesus said in verse 19, and I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. So he repeats that works twice in the verse. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. And Lord, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, and Lord, for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And I pray, Father, tonight that you will just help us tonight to glean, Lord, from this passage of scripture. Lord, you put it there for a reason. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to glean from it tonight. God will give you glory. Bless our dear people tonight, Lord, that are grieving. Bless our dear people that are hurting tonight, our Lord. Lift them up, we pray. God will give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We're talking tonight about the church at Thyatira. Just a little bit of history. Thyatira was one of the smallest and the least important of the seven cities that Jesus is mentioning here, and the seven churches of Asia. There was no record in history here of the Christians of Thyatira that they suffered from political or religious persecution. You remember Smyrna, how they suffered, and there's no record of it. And some dismiss Thyatira as being small and unimportant, but I want to say this tonight. God had a church there. One of the things I enjoyed about traveling with Rock of Ages for the 10 years that I traveled, I realized some groups are larger, and some are very small as far as number, but God's got people scattered out all over this globe. Amen. And God didn't forget the church at Thyatira just because it was a quote-unquote little church or in a little city. I want to say this. I don't believe God has any little churches. You say, Pastor, why would you say that? Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If that's God's people, God's church, amen, and they've gathered together and Jesus shows up, I've said for years I'd rather have two or three with Jesus than I would 2,000 or 3,000 without him, amen? And that makes a wonderful, wonderful church. They had, God put a church there, and he wanted a witness in that city, amen? And Thyatira was a center of business and trade, and it had many active trade guilds, each having their own patron deity from the Greek and the Roman gods. So like a lot of the world in that day, it was a mess, amen, as far as the secular part of that city. And God put a church in the world, amen, to be a light in the midst of the darkness. And I praise God for that. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 16 tonight for a moment, would you please? I want to show you a lady that came out of Thyatira, that was her home in Thyatira, and she's a blessing. She's a blessing in the Scripture. In Acts chapter number 16, I believe it's verse number 14, the Bible said, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us," Paul is talking now, "heard us, whose heart the Lord opened." How many is glad the Lord opened your heart? Amen. "And whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household," I love that, over and over and over in the Bible, God lets us know that he wants the whole house to be saved. Amen. You remember the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Then these three words, "and thy house." Our Lord loves to save the whole house. Amen. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." She wanted the men of God to come in. She wanted to, no doubt, minister to them, probably feed them. Amen. When I read that just now, it reminded me of a man in Mexico. I do not recall his name. We were on a missions trip down there. And that man was just a good friend. He was a good man. He was a Christian man. He was of Mexican descent. And we tried to get him to go out and eat with us. And we wanted to buy him a meal. Amen. We were working together during the day. And he said he would, but he made a stipulation. He said, "You got to come to Mama's house first." Amen. And we went to his mama's house, and I've never eaten Mexican before or since. Amen. That good. It was absolutely wonderful, amen? And he wanted us to come. And I believe that's the way that Lydia was. She wanted the men of God to come and be in her house. Verse number 18 here, the Bible said here, "These things saith the Son of God." Jesus is, he's magnifying his deity right off the bat. And some don't understand this. They will actually say that Jesus was the Son of God, and they will not have any qualms with that or disagree with that. But when the rubber meets the road is when you say Jesus is God. Amen. And beloved, listen, that's why they crucified him. They understood when he said he was the Son of God that he made himself equal with God. Amen. He was the God-man. And he magnifies his deity right off the bat. "These things saith the Son of God, that hath eyes like unto a flame of fire." This speaks of his judgment and how that Jesus, he sees through. All you and I see is the outside, but we have a Savior that sees right through. I think a good word would be the facade. A lot of people, they put on airs, amen. They act like they're something that they're not, but Jesus sees right through it. That reminds me, and my wife will kill me for telling you this, but her daddy had a girlfriend one time. And after that, he divorced her mama and had a girlfriend, and we were visiting out there. It was out there on the coast. At that time it might have been the beach, but it was out there on the coast. Amen. But anyway, we were sitting around the living room, and she just said out loud, she said, Eve's daddy's name's Ray. She said, "Oh, Ray, look at this recipe for whore's divorce." I believe we would call that hors d'oeuvres. Amen. She was trying to be something she wasn't. Amen. You say, "Pastor, what'd you do?" I was young, and I was in love with that woman over there, and I was respectful. I went out in the yard and laughed. Laughed my head off. Amen. I never seen anything to beat in all my life. But really the point in that is Jesus just sees through. He sees through. And I tell you what, that would put a godly fear in every one of us if we realized that he don't just see the outside, he don't just hear what I say. He sees my motives, he sees my heart, he sees everything about me. Amen. And I believe that would put a healthy fear in us. And that's what it's talking about here. The eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Brass is strong, and it's speaking of not only his strength, but his immutability. He doesn't change, and he's unmovable. Amen. And that's his prayer for us, Paul, when he talked about the resurrection in chapter number 15 of the book of Corinthians. He said, after he said, this is the victory, we have this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You won't do much for the Lord at all until the devil will jump up on your shoulder and tell you you're wasting your time. Amen. But let me remind you about something. He's a liar. Amen. God said our labor, he's not unrighteous to forget our work of faith and our labor of love. And so God knows, amen, and his feet are like fine brass. He said here in verse number 19, "I know thy works and charity and service." Listen to this list: "and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful list. God says, "I know your love, your charity. I know you love. I know you love me. I know you love one another." Amen. I believe the church is to love sinners, don't you? And not sin, but sinners. Amen. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So he sees their love. And then he sees their service. "I know thy works, and thy charity, thy love, thy service." And, service, I guess, sometimes is pretty easy to see. But listen, God don't only see what, he sees why. That's why the Bible said that our works are going to be tried so as by fire. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Some of our works will be like wood, hay, and stubble. They'll burn up. But when they pass through the fire, some of our works will be like gold and silver and precious stone. All the fire does is purify, amen, the gold and the silver and the precious stone. So he said, "I know your works." And he said, "I know your faith and your patience." And these are wonderful things. And in these ways, many ways, the church here at Thyatira was a model church. A church that has love, a church that has service, a church that has faith, a church that has patience, amen. I want to say this to you. You know, we're going to go out in the community and give out flyers again for Bible school and knock on doors again. But I want you to remember something. We may have knocked on doors right after I first come here, and we may not have never seen those people yet. But the key word is yet. I believe when you show an interest in people, when something happens and they decide, you know what, I need to get interested in the things of God, I believe they're liable to just pick up and go where somebody showed an interest in them, amen, and where somebody loved on them, amen. And I know this, God honors it, whether those folk ever come or not. God will send others, amen. God honors obedience, amen. And he says to this church, "I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. I know your patience. Amen. They had four wonderful, essential qualities for the church. And I believe it's important, amen, that we have those as well. And then he said here, and I think this is important, and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Did you know as we progress in life, we're not supposed to be doing less and less. We're not supposed to just maintain, amen. We should be getting closer. We should be growing, amen, in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, and both now and ever. And I believe that's how we bring glory to God. We should be growing in our love and growing in our service. In our marriages, does our love not grow? Amen? Listen, Brother Ralph's sitting over at the hospital, and I'm telling you what, his heart is broke. It's broke completely in two. I don't know how many years they've been married, probably 60-some years they've been married. And listen, that love grows, amen? That love grows. And we get to know each other better. And what a blessing it is, amen? And when we know that our love for the Lord, it grows as well. Now, Jesus says to the church at Thyatira, notwithstanding, and I want you to think about this tonight. You and I can have these four things right here, love and service and faith and patience. We can have all kinds of things going right in our life. But if there's one thing, you know what I'm talking about, amen? One thing that just throws a monkey wrench in everything, so to speak. We must be careful because God knows what it is. And I believe that's what he meant when he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, Saul did some things right, but he spared Agag. Amen. He spared the sheep. And Samuel said, what's this bleeding of the sheep? Amen. In other words, I'll tell you what I read. I think it's probably true, but in my Scofield Bible, I believe it says Saul's incomplete obedience. I believe that's what it says at the head of that list. But someone said this, and I think there's something here that is worthy of listening to. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Amen? And I believe that's true. And the church here has got a problem. Jesus said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, this is bad news for the church, amen? Let me stop and make a statement tonight. Sometimes, a church is really not hindered as much by what they're doing as by what they're allowing. Does that make any sense? Amen. Sometimes a marriage and a home is not hindered as much by what they're doing as by what they're allowing. In other words, you can be doing the right thing and allowing the wrong thing. And God said, I'm against that. Amen. And so I think that's important. Jezebel was an immoral, she was an ungodly influence on others, and she led others into sin. Jezebel led others into immorality and idolatry. It's really hard to believe that a church that has all this going for them, they've got that love going for them, that service going for them, and that faith going for them. It's hard to believe that God didn't raise somebody up and say, this ain't right. Amen. We can't allow this in our midst. But Jesus, listen, I'm going to say this, and I believe it's true. I believe sometimes people are afraid to address anything. And listen, let me tell you something about Jesus. Read the Bible. He ain't afraid to address anything. If it needs to be addressed, amen, he'll address it. And I thank God he loves me enough that it needs to be addressed in my life. He'll address it. Amen. He ain't going to skip it. Amen. He loves me. Amen. And the Word of God said here, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. and she repented not. Now, some of us might find that hard to believe, but even as wicked as this woman was, God gave her space to repent. You remember in Nehemiah on Sunday morning, the Bible said, "And now for a little space, grace." Amen. Let me tell you what I believe. And I think I can be pretty dogmatic about this. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, this was the true light, speaking of Jesus, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe God gives every man space to repent. I believe He gives every woman space to repent, as some of those spaces may be bigger or longer than others. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I believe our God gives us space. Amen. And the Bible is talking about here this woman, Jezebel. He said in verse number 22, judgment's coming. He said, I'm going to cast her into a bed. Now, listen, this struck me. Her judgment's coming, and it's going to be meted out the same way that she was living. He's going to cast her in. That's what the Bible said. He's going to cast her into a bed. Amen. She's whoring around, and she's teaching others, amen, immorality and idolatry. And God said, I'm going to cast her into a bed. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And then there's that word, accept. They repent of their deeds. Amen. I believe that repentance is so, so necessary. And I believe it's being skipped in a lot of circles today. I believe that there are people teaching people that they can be saved without repenting. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If I didn't have anybody else's word for it, Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. That's good enough for me. Amen. Jesus said, except you repent. And I love what Brother Mitchell said. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I believe that. Amen. We don't get by, do we? Amen. God straightens us out because He loves us. Those I love, He said, I rebuke and I chasten. And He said, I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the heart. Let me ask you something. What would the church be today if it was like it was when Ananias and Sapphira came in and lied to the Holy Ghost and they fell dead? I believe somebody help me. I believe there'd be a fear that we ain't seen in a long time. Say amen. And they sold the land for so much. And Peter told them, said, listen, it was yours. You didn't have to come in here bragging like you give it all to the church. Amen. You could have kept it, but you lied about it. And I want you to notice this. Peter didn't say you lied to me. He said you lied to the Holy Ghost. Think about that for just a minute. Amen. And so God's judgment's coming. He said, I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know. That's why I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. There was a good, healthy Holy Ghost fear in that early church. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there was in the children of Israel too. You think about that for just a moment. How many remembers the story of Achan? They went down there to Jericho, and God told them not to take anything. If they would have just waited a few days, God was going to give them the spoil when they went down to Ai. He was going to give them everything. All they had to do was wait a few days, and God's going to give it all to them. What did He do? He buried that wedge of gold, that Babylonian garment. Was it a wedge of silver too? What was it, Brother Chris? You remember that? Three things, wasn't it? Was it silver and gold and the Babylonian garment? You remember, Brother Jason? Amen. Anyway, I think it was three things that he buried in his tent. And when God judged him, how many remembers how that went down? Listen, it wasn't just Achan. It was his wife. It was his children. They took him down there in the valley of Achor and they stoned him to death. Amen. I think about that and I wonder, just like Jezebel's children, the Word of God's talking about here in this church. I wonder if those children, Brother Dale, in that day didn't say, Daddy, why'd you do that? I mean, they're standing there getting ready to be stoned to death. Amen. There's going to be a lot of kids in hell that's going to be saying, Daddy, why didn't you take us to church? Why didn't you tell us about Jesus? Amen. You said that preacher was crazy. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. They suffer. And the Word of God said here, the Bible said, and thou shalt smite, this is 2 Kings 9:7, thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. Verse 9, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. This is the side of our Heavenly Father and our Savior that's not being preached in this generation. Amen. The Word of God said he's angry with the wicked every day. Amen. And Jesus is, this is all, if you've got a red letter edition Bible, everything I read in the text is all in red letters. Jesus is addressing the church. Amen. And I just want you to understand our sin. I didn't say your sin. I said our sin does not just affect us. It affects others. Many times our own children. Now watch what the Bible said in verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. This is what God put in my heart when I read that. This wasn't, how many knows what it is just to slip up and sin? You understand? That's not what's going on at Thyatira, Brother Jason. Amen. This is a doctrine. This is something that's being done on purpose. This is something that's being taught. Amen. That Jezebel, and has said, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. It looks like to me, beloved, when the Bible said it's a doctrine to teach and to seduce. Let me say this to you. There's a dangerous doctrine floating around today. It's a doctrine of Calvinism. I told someone in the hallway Sunday, I'm going to tell you what I believe Calvinism is. It's a license to be lazy. If you believe that God's already decided who's going and who's not going, then why in the world, Brother Rick, are we supporting 54 missionaries to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because we don't believe that. We believe whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. That's what we believe. We believe it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Personally, I believe, listen, you'll never find where heaven enlarged itself. You won't find it in the Word of God. But I tell you what you will find. Hell hath enlarged herself. You say, Pastor, why do you think the Bible talks like that? I tell you why. Hell, the Word of God tells us, was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for me. I believe every time somebody goes to hell, God has to make it a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. He's telling them, I didn't make this place for you. It wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. Doctrine. It's important. I read this years ago. Maybe I didn't read it. Maybe I heard it in a conference somewhere. I want you to remember this. One of these days, if Jesus don't come, I'll be gone. But this is what was said. Every church is one pastor away from liberalism. One pastor away. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I'm hearing of things that I thought I'd never hear of. I'm telling you, somebody go into church and listen, this church went through some of that. I don't care if you stay or I don't care if you go. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, man, God's man cares if you stay. He cares if you go. Amen. I tell you, I thank God, beloved, listen, that a shepherd cares.
Matter of fact, he'll go after the one. He'll leave the 99 and go after that one and try to restore them, get them back to teach and to seduce. The Bible said in Exodus 34:15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after other gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods. And it came to pass, 1 Kings 16:31, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. The Bible said in 1 Kings 21:25, but there was none like unto Ahab, listen to this, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'd rather sell out to the Savior than sell out to sin. Amen. I know the better side of that coin. Amen. We may be like Job and we may suffer. But I tell you one thing, when the child of God leaves this world, their suffering's over. I thought about the song today, Nearing the Shore. Some of our people have crossed over and some are nearing the shore. Trouble soon be over. We'll suffer no more. But beloved, these like Ahab that have sold out to wickedness, like Jezebel, his wife stirred up, the word of God said, that sell out to sin, beloved, they're going to suffer forever and forever. The Bible said in verse 25, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. I'm going to give you something right here, a couple of verses of scripture that I'm going to give you a thought. I think you're going to like it. Amen. How many's ever heard somebody say, just hold on? You know, the last time I checked, I didn't have him by the hand. He had me in his hand. I'm going to tell you something right now. Peter, go there with me a minute. I don't know where it's at. It's either in 1st or 2nd Peter's, the first chapter. I'll find it in just a moment. Hebrews, James, and Peter. Okay, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. The Word of God said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, hath He begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Ooh, glory, amen. Oh, you say, preacher, if I believed that, I'd sin. No, if you believed that, you'd shout.
Amen.
Kept by the power of God. That's what the Bible says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 said, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The Word of God said in 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. There are some things that God wants us to hold on to. Amen. But it's not our salvation. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I love this. For He is faithful that promised. Amen. He's faithful that promised. I want to give you an illustration. You remember when God told Noah to build an ark, right? And God moved on the animal kingdom and they lined up and started getting on the ark. You remember that? And one day God said to Noah, come thou in. Remember that? Everybody knows where that put God, right? He didn't tell him go in. He said, come thou in. So I put God on the inside, and he said, Noah, come in here. And then Noah shut the door? God shut the door. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at here? Let me tell you what God didn't do. He didn't tell Noah to drive a peg in the side of that ark and hang on. Amen. He said, come on in here, boy. Let me tell you something right now. When you get saved, you're in Christ. You can't get any safer than that. He says, come on in. Come on in. A lot of people, they worry themselves to death because they think they're holding on till Jesus comes. They sang a song years ago, and I won't say what group sang it, but I'm telling you, it rubbed me the wrong way every time they sang it. An unscriptural song rubs me the wrong way. Can I get an amen right there? It said, we're climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. God gave his best.
Amen.
So we could make it in.
Amen.
What's the matter, Brother Jason? Did you detect about four chords in those few words? He's not laughing at me. He's laughing with me. I know him. Amen. Amen. Now you know why I'm not leading the choir. We thank God for Brother Dale. Amen. That song's unscriptural. You're doing your best to make it in, honey. You won't make it. You'll trust God's best, the Lord Jesus, or you'll split hell wide open. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me give you this real quickly. The Bible said in verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Again, the Bible said in 1 John 5, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Remember this, it wasn't what they were doing. God actually commended them for what they were doing. But God chastened them for what they were allowing. Amen. I believe we're living in a generation, listen, where sometimes, not always, thank God for moms and dads that fear God, but sometimes they just say, well, the kids got to sow their wild oats and they got to do this and they got to do that. I'm going to tell you what, those of us that are carrying the scars of sin, that's the last thing we want for our children. Amen. And I believe sometimes we allow things that's displeasing to the Lord. Amen. How many's glad you come this way tonight? Amen.